12, verse 6. For those who the Lord loves, agapeo, he disciplines and he scourges every son whom he receives. Notice here that the qualifier is that you're a child of his. And if you're a child of his, you're agapeo loved by God. That is when you have the unconditional love of God, is being a child of his. A great picture, I would like to think that for any child, I would lay down my life. But I will be telling you for certain, if it's one of my children, I will guarantee I will lay down my life. Because that's my child. That's my child. And the Lord is no different. His love is unconditional for his children. But there is a day and age in which the Lord will bring down judgment on those that are not his. I put a few passages up here. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 3, and Ezekiel chapter 7, 7 to 9. Both of these talk about the destruction that is coming one day. Futuristic speaking, we've been studying the book of Revelation, but at some point the wrath of God will be poured out on all unbelievers, and he will wipe all wickedness off the face of the planet. Because we have to understand that God is absolutely just. Because he is good, he hates evil. Because he is absolutely good with no evil in him, he must utterly destroy evil. But because of his love, he's held off on when that destruction's coming and gives us an opportunity through the gift of salvation to experience his compassion and his grace and his mercy. You know, it's so often that we think about these things and we want to say, man, if I just, like the disciples, sometimes we can fall into this. We say, if I just had more faith, God. And he's saying, no, no, no. It's not about having more quantity of seed. He's saying, let that seed take root. One seed. We need to understand something about faith. Faith is the avenue, but it is not the salvation itself. Faith is the avenue, but it is not the salvation itself. Grace is the salvation itself. An unmerited gift you don't deserve. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. You don't deserve it. None of us do. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter what's happened in your past. It doesn't matter how evil you are. It's still a gift extended. But faith is the avenue in which you receive that gift that's been extended. So if I want, quote unquote, more faith, don't focus on faith itself. Focus on grace, the power that grace possesses, and the one whom gives the grace. And in that, your faith will be deepened. And the same thing is true when we're here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, studying these different tools in the bag, if you will. What Paul is saying is, go back to the source of the one whom gives you and expresses love itself. Find everything that you have in you, everything that you're about, and be filled with him, because he is the one that when you're filled with him, you're filled with love. And when you're filled with love and you're squeezed, the thing that comes out of you is love. Remember, sometimes love disciplines. Sometimes love disciplines. Why? Because it has to operate in truth. Has to operate in truth. Otherwise, it's not love. We see all these new definitions today. The dumbest of them all is love is love. What definition has ever been defined by itself? Any grammar teacher or English teacher would just, ugh, in hearing that. But people fall for it all the time because they want to create their own form of love totally outside of truth. It has no place. It has no value. It is worth nothing if it is not bound in truth. Love has a place because it's bound in truth. And it's expressed to us and we know it's love. How? Because I don't deserve it, yet he's extended it. God demonstrated it. Something I don't deserve, God demonstrated towards me. That's how I know he loves me. How much he died on the cross for me. So a couple closing thoughts with that in mind. What is the summation of the things you do in life? Is it just to do good because you know what? This is just what I ought to do. That's empty, nothing, futile, boastful, unrighteous, quite frankly, annoying. Or is it, God, I don't deserve you, but yet, Lord, you've called me your own. You found me worthy because of your son, Jesus Christ, and only because of him. And so, God, here I am. Use me as you see fit. Build these people up around me because, you know what? I can't do it. If I did it, Lord, it would be empty. It would have an end. It would come off in arrogance. But, Lord, when you do it through me, they see your compassion. They don't see my compassion. They see your compassion, God. What is the summation of the things you do in life? Secondly, is love void in your life toward others? If other people stop and they look at your life, would they see, man, I know that they love me. I know that they love me. Real quick, short story. It's one of the few good things I can tell you in my life. There's a person that I had to work with for a period of time. And I did a lot of business travel, and this person was in charge of teaching me a little bit about the territory I was about ready to take over for work. She stood diametrically opposed to me on almost every subject about God, about marriage, about love, everything. And I just told her, I said, look, I have a question for you. If I don't tell you these things, can I truthfully tell you that I love you? If I honestly believe that Jesus Christ did come and die on the cross, that he's the only way to heaven, that apart from that, a person goes to hell. If I honestly believe that and I don't express that to you, would you say that I love or hate you? She responded, well, that would mean that you hate me. I said, then do you see that I love you? She goes, yes. Is your love on display for the unsaved world? Sometimes truth is hard to take, but the way we deliver it, we ought to be able to have people see that we love them, that we are compassionate towards them. And the reason why we share the gospel with people today, starting again with a church body where we live out the gospel every single day. The reason why we do this is because we do love others, because God loves them. And because we love them, we let them know there's a time coming to which an unbeliever will cease to see the love of God and they'll experience his full wrath. Lastly, the love and grace of God is great enough, but what have you done with it? I think for those of us that know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we know, I think we would give testimony that what God has done, he has demonstrated that there is nothing else needed. He has made himself known. It is not Jesus Christ plus something. He literally did everything that it took to display the fullness of love so that we would know what that love looks like, what it is, and where it comes from. So we know that it's enough, but what do we do with it? Sit on our hands on a pew. What is God doing to express his love through you to others? What are you doing with the love of God that you say you've experienced? Now let's pray and then we'll take communion. Dear God, Lord, I just thank you so much for your word. I thank you for these 66 love letters. And God, I know today could come off in such a hard way for some of us, Lord, but you know what? You've given me a litmus test for my own life. And God, I know I love you, but God, cause that love to be deeper and deeper. I just pray that you'd cause me to know you just a bit more this year. God, I pray that my heart would just take absolute delight in you, that it would have a fire lit to see people come to know you, that the church body would be encouraged and built up, not for my sake, but for you, God, that your name would be glorified. God, I pray that as we're about ready to take communion, that we would remember the sacrifice of your son, Jesus Christ, how he demonstrated love and being a part of your plan, God, to redeem mankind by willfully, sacrificially giving up his life on our behalf. God, I pray for the person here today that maybe they just haven't experienced that love. God, I pray that they're just honestly, that they're fearing you, that they're fearing the absolute wrath that you possess, God, against the wicked and unsaved world. God, that it would torture them, that they would know you, that you have extended your hand of grace to them, that there is still time that they could receive you and know you as personal Lord and Savior. God, I pray for us that claim to be born again believers. I pray that you'd move every one of us to be quick to present your gospel to the unsaved world. God, that we would desire like you, that none should perish, but that all would come to repentance. God, I pray that you'd make that the foremost desire of our heart, knowing that it's on your heart. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.